Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Sorry, where exactly is Tausch edition? I hear football sounds. But he's like, in a parking garage? I'm very confused. Edition. The pull-up edition. I don't know about that, Jesse Nelson, including your seat location in your sports center for tonight's Brewers-Dodgers game edition. And the a little bit of false advertising from Jesse in his sports center. I didn't have a Q&A exclusive by any means with Jordan Love, but I did ask him quite a few questions. Well, because Rudy Ford's no longer on the team edition of Wilde and Tausch, a 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com. In the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from a soon-to-be, hopefully disclosed location, it is the Packers Hall of Famer and the radio color analyst for Badger football. It is Mark Tauscher. Tauschy, good morning. Where are you and how are you?
I'm doing well. Do you guys remember the movie All the President's Men?
When I do. You're meeting Deep Throat in the parking garage?
So I'm in a parking garage. I was meeting Jim Polzine in the parking garage to just continue to gather more information. Yeah, we're out on the grass field today. So, oh, there we go. Yep, so that's where I'm at.
Wait,
I don't know if that helps you.
So there, I don't know the diorama of the Badgers practice area. I know they're tearing down the shell where I was dunked on more than a few times in pickup ball to make way for a new facility. You're in a, I don't understand. They're practicing on a grass field and you're in a parking garage?
Correct. Yeah. It's only been here for about 25 years. It's the same field that we practiced on back in the mid 90s. So I can understand how you wouldn't understand that, but yeah, there's a parking ramp next to it and there's a grass field right next to Camp Randall Stadium. And I'm going to tell you something. You always want to practice on grass whenever you can. And I think that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah. When I covered Badger football, they practiced on that grass field, but you know where I was? I was on the grass field on the side.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's shady up here, and I'm soft.
You're shady.
Plus, you get a really nice angle. So, yeah, it's a win-win for all of us soft media folks, rather than standing on the in the sun baking. Get a nice angle, and it's
so
shady.
Do you get like a lawn chair?
Paint
the picture. Oh, big
yeah,
standard.
I just did. I'm standing in a parking garage. I'm waiting for Deep Throat to come by and give me all the info on who the starting quarterback's going to be, what our season record's going to be, all those things. And I'm literally looking out right across, watching the fellas get into some competitive, it looks like goal line red zone type situation to start practice.
And since you're not on the sideline like you were at UW-Platteville, does that mean there'll be less distractions as you try to do this, the program?
This will be less distractions, but I'm sure still distractions will come because I get distracted really easily, as you know.
I've heard that. Yeah. Is Matt LePay there with you at with a chocolate ice cream cone?
He does not have a chocolate ice cream cone, but you know Matt's the hardest working man in show business. So yeah, he's here just collecting info, doing what he does.
You want to have Deep Throat take a new picture of you for our video stream so we can
get a better understanding
of where you are?
I will get you a Deep Throat version of this. First off, I don't like saying Deep Throat to you guys.
You brought up Deep Throat, you guys keep men.
You guys keep using it. So yes, I'll get you that for the next break.
Okay. Wonderful.
Deep Throat photographer coming up a little bit later in the program. So you tweeted something during the show and... Are you okay?
Yeah, no, just frustrating play. Continue.
You can't keep making noises every time a play
happens.
Guys
don't have to react to it. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Boys are getting called up early. I think it's like, get your blank together. Let's go. That's my opinion. I'm not sure what.
Tough day at practice today.
It's not a great start, no.
Sounds like we should have one of those once in a while as well.
Yeah, I think I was just going to say, our start, we should be getting yelled at.
Call an early timeout.
No,
get it together here.
Today, maybe yesterday, 27 minutes of a gas tank discussion, but be that as it may. So you're there at practice.
Yep.
You will keep us updated on the goings on. But yesterday during the show, and we didn't really get to discuss it, but you got a lot of replies. You tweeted, which is oftentimes a really good indicator of you have a thought that might potentially be interesting. So you posted yesterday on X, as we like to call it, I don't want anyone to vomit with nervousness about this question. Ha ha, very good. You're funny. But if you, all caps, very proud of you, could draft only one Packers wide receiver in fantasy football, who are you taking?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that I brought that up because I didn't even know Max is in a fantasy football league with some of his football teammates, and he's going through the draft. They had it at 9 o'clock last night, which I think was crazy, but that's what they did. And guess how many Packer wide receivers were drafted in that? I think they have an 8-person league, 16 rounds. Guess how many Packer wide receivers are drafted with a bunch of kids that I think outside of one kid that drafted all Chicago Bears, Run Dog, who's an avid listener to the program, he drafted every Bear. Like, he literally is starting a Bear every spot, which pretty much tells me he wants to finish dead last. But how many Packers do you think were drafted?
Five, because Bo Melton got picked two.
The answer is zero.
Zero?
Not one. Wide out. And I told Max late to take Romeo Doubs. And I don't know who he ended up. I think he ended up having to get a kicker or a defense, so he couldn't. But that was, you know, to answer my own question on Twitter, that was who that's. You know, I'm a Doubs guy. You've kind of entrenched yourself with Dubois. I'm Watson Doubs.
No.
Those are my guys. And I still believe Doubs is going to be the guy. And if I was playing fantasy football and I'm going Packer wideouts, because there's so much variance as far as who that player could be, you're not going to see a Packer wideout off the board early in fantasy drafts, I don't believe.
All right. First of all, I'm a Wicks guy. If I have to be pinned down, as much as I love Grant Dubose, not Dubois, we will see what he ends up doing this season. And if he makes the roster, he will certainly get plenty of opportunities in the game on Sunday in Denver, but I'm surprised because Jordan Love did throw 32 touchdown passes. He did throw for 4,100 yards last year. Those yards and those touchdowns do have to go to someone, even if you don't like late in the draft, I feel like those Packers wide receivers were potential bargains.
I agree, but the problem is, and what you're always looking for is, you know he's the guy. You know he's not going to get vultured. He's going to get the touch. And we don't know that right now. There's more variance and more, probably more so than even last year. Last year, you would have thought Doubs and Watson, because they're the veterans, you didn't know who was going to emerge. this year it's even more of a crapshoot, I believe, as far as guessing and trying to pinpoint who's going to be that guy. So, yeah, and most of the responses were Dobbs or Reed, at least the ones that I've saw, and then a couple of Watsons with the caveat of him staying healthy.
Oh, well, that is a big caveat. He had another big deep ball catch, not deep throats, deep ball catch yesterday in practice from Jordan Love. So we will see how the wide receivers unfold. But I think this is, for me anyway, this is a place your bets on who you think will emerge as the go-to guy.
It's not just for you. That's the reality of where they're at. That is what is going to happen. And it is a wide-open operation. The good thing is I don't think you're going to have anything come up if you're shooting dice. I don't think you're going to have a Snake Eyes or a Midnight Blue. I think you're going to have – I think there's a good chance you're going to hit on a 4 or you're going to hit on a 10. You know, normally it's, oh, who's the 6, 7, 8? Because those are the numbers that get rolled the most. I think this is a year you could say, well, it could be a 9 or a 10, and you're going to get paid out bigger on your odds. That's the beauty of fantasy football. It's the beauty of throwing dice.
I gotta learn how to play dice because otherwise I'm never going to understand these. What's a Midnight Blue or whatever you
said? Boxcars. Some people call it boxcars. It's when you roll 2 6s. You get monster odds on it, but it doesn't happen very often. You know what I'm saying? Horn!
Yeah, all right. Well, I did not have an exclusive one-on-one with Jordan Love yesterday.
That's not what Jesse SportsCenter said. And why is Jesse putting his seat number down? Is he, like, wanting people to come and buy him popcorn and Coors Lights at the
Brewers
game?
He wants
them
to pull
today?
Up. Pull up!
I was channeling my Riley Yauch from a few weeks ago when he said the same thing in his sports center.
These sports centers are starting to get very individualized. Like Riley talking about UFC and who his favorite fighter is, and then he's like teasing who if Wisconsin's in the top 25. Like I feel like we're getting very it's becoming very fluid as far as what these updates are with. Like, do we care if Riley had a coffee this morning? Like, where he got his biscuits?
Would you like to show me how it's done? Would you like to do the next SportsCenter update?
Much like most of us in the media, we just sit and criticize. When called upon to actually do it, no, we're not going to do it. We're just going to criticize.
Well, I hope people will pull up and see Jesse. What section are you in again, Jesse, so everybody knows?
230 tonight. Section 230. We're going to get the Brewers a nice win. They're due.
I'm starting to hear a lot of whining about the big market, small market. Like nobody was whining when we're still in a great spot. But is it just that the Dodgers are it just gives Brewers fans the queasies because they got Shohei. They pay all this money, and we know we can't do that. And they beat us in the NLCS a few years ago. They're beating us this series. Is it just that we are feeling our insecurities? Because nobody was saying that. It's like, hey, this is a gritty, tough team. And now I feel like we're starting to pout a little bit. It is what it is.
I mean, that could be a little prisoner of the moment because of the Dodgers being the team that's coming to town, and they put the bats on the Brewers the last couple of nights. So I mean, it's been extra prevalent. They're a good offensive team. Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be one of the narratives. And when the Phillies and the Dodgers are kind of like the tier one of the National League and the Brewers are tier two, and you look at, okay, the Phillies and Dodgers have spent a bunch of money and they've got all these great players and their rotation is stacked and their lineups are stacked and
we knew that going into it. Like, it is what it is. Like, that is just the reality, and that's why our expectations as Brewers fans – aren't the same as they are as Packer fans or as Milwaukee Bucks fans.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's different because, like, the Brewers have found their way to win, just like the Rays did for a while, and some other teams around the league have. But when you're playing the Dodgers this week, and you can say, when looking at the Dodgers, could the Brewers ever be that? And the answer is no. Then, yeah, there's a difference between large market and small market.
Hey, how many championships have the Dodgers won in the last 15 years with their payroll being probably, what, 10x of what the Milwaukee Brewers is?
One.
Okay. Now, granted, I want one, but it's everything has to fall perfectly, and that's why it's just different. But I just, I'm just curious. Like, I just see that argument coming up on Twitter a ton. And the reality is, this is where we're at, and things aren't going to change. So how? And I think the Brewers deserve a ton of credit. Their front office has been dynamite, continuing to give this team a chance to have a chance. I don't know if you can get over the hump. The odds are you can't because of payroll and because of talent. But Craig Karma's in on Sunday. Karma said, hey, it's a fluky. The Brewers not winning a championship or getting to a World Series is fluky. I disagree with him. But you, all you can do is give yourself a chance, get in there. And then the question is, do you have the starting pitching, which is usually what dictates these series? And that's where I think we're a little nervous as Brewers fans that we're never going to be able to get over the hump because we don't have those horses to do it.
And in fairness, the Dodgers, while they only have one title in the last decade, they have been to the playoffs 11 years, soon to be 12 years running.
Yeah, the Brewers so have been always what, 6 or 7 out of 9?
Sure. Yep. Okay. Yes, they've had, but I would argue that they have given themselves a better chance to have
no
a chance.
Blank. Hey, no blank. So blank.
Are you a little irascible today?
No, I'm not. But I'm not irascible. I'm in a great mood. I'm in the shade, so I feel really good about where I'm at.
All right. Well, I want to get to some of the things that Jordan Love had to say yesterday before we get to Brian Bulaga and all the things he'll have to say.
Oh, big blue.
Today, so today,
hopefully you don't put him to sleep like you did with.
Yeah, we got to give him some grief about that.
I don't know. Am I giving him grief or giving you grief?
I think there's an actual reason that he appeared to be falling asleep. We'll let Blue explain that when we get to it. But until then, one thing that never puts me to sleep is the excitement that is generated by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and their new current big time 0% for 60 months deal.
Yes, indeed. How do you say welcome to your guests, whether you're down at AmFam Field coming over to say hi to your good buddy, Jesse Nelson? Well, you say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and you say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And then, of course, we say it with class. And when you think class, Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. You also say it with a great deal. And Gina texted us last week. I thought, well, man, pretty good deal here. 0 for 3. No. She said, give them 0 interest for 5 years. And if you have a hard time with years, it's 60 months. No money down and equal payments across the board. But hurry up. This offer ends. We're already halfway through August, people. Ends on August 31st of 2024. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Jordan Love. Lots of interesting stuff from our conversation with Jordan Love yesterday. We'll get to it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. Because I'm a hazard to my.
Live from a parking garage as he watches Badgers practice. Whistle! No horn. Whistle. As that rolls on, Packers quarterback Jordan Love spoke with reporters at his locker yesterday, including...
I heard there was an exclusive.
This
my Sports Center update, which I'm getting most of my sports from lately. How was that exclusive?
I never said it was an exclusive. I said Jason Wilde had a Q&A with Jordan Love, and he did.
Oh. Okay. In fairness to Jesse, he did not use the word exclusive, but he implied the word exclusive, which was not the case. But Domofsky and I carried it, man. There was not a real big crowd around Jordan, so he and I got a lot of questions. And sometimes you ask a question or two that you're trying to buy time to keep it going. So I asked like a Josh Jacobs question. Josh Jacobs had one carry in the game. They only played three plays. So
what's your favorite ice cream flavor, Jordan? Like, stuff like that.
Do you find chocolate ice cream to be gross? But Jesse, I don't know how many of the questions you wanted to get to throughout the show today, but I did bring up the vomit quote from Matt LaFleur to Jordan because I really wanted to understand how he views Horn! My guy, Dontayvion Wicks, not to be confused with Dubois, Smitty Dubois, who's not on the roster. That's a great photo. Now I have a much better picture, if you're watching on the video stream, of how Tausch is watching practice. That's a really nice perch.
Yeah, it's a great perch.
Works really well for you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't know if I'll get back over here because eventually we're going to get out to the camp and get going. But yeah, it's a beautiful perch. I tried to tell you that. I guess I didn't paint a great enough picture.
No dazzling details from you. Whether or not we got dazzling details from Jordan Love on the wide receiver situation, I'll let you, Tausch, be the judge. Here is that exchange from yesterday.
Jordan, I made the mistake yesterday of prefacing a question about Wicks by mentioning the lack of a number one receiver, and Matt got after me a little bit. I'm still trying to understand that with as much talent as you guys have at the top of that depth chart, and even down the depth chart, where does Dontayvion kind of fit into the puzzle that is that group?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, we have a real deep, you know, receiver group, which, like I said before, is a good problem to have. We got a lot of guys that can go out there and make plays, be in different positions, move all across the field. So I think it's great. I mean, we'll mix those guys up. You know, when one guy gets tired, another guy just go in. So we just have, you know, fresh guys out there. But as far as he mixed in the lineup, I mean, we saw last year. I mean, all those guys can be anywhere. I feel like they can all run different routes. So, I mean, it was all play dependent, you know. You know, if a guy's number one read, things like that. So we'll see. We'll see as the season goes in and get more game plan stuff going. But, you know, I think all those guys can fit in anywhere.
So, you know, this isn't unprecedented. Like, in 11, Aaron used to say, my favorite receiver is the one who's open. And you're kind of in that same spot right now with all this talent. Do you think you guys will get to a point where maybe you can even make, you said play specific, you think maybe there'll be a point where even though every guy can run every play, there'll be certain plays that you like a lot better for Tay, or you like better for Christian, or can you get to that point in the offense now as compared to where you were last year, still trying to figure everything out?
No, I mean, I think we're already there. I mean, you could see that last year and some of the game plans and things like that. Obviously, you want certain guys on certain routes. So that definitely plays into it. You go in that game plan with that in mind. As the game plays out, you know, a guy might be out there and he might be gassed and he got to come to the sideline. So somebody else might be in there for that play where you can just throw another guy in. But, I mean, once you get into game plan and stuff, there is certain concepts and routes that we like certain people at.
Tausch, I don't know about you, but I loved his answer, especially the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we all hope for. And, again, that's great on paper. It is. Mm-hmm. But then it also comes to, all right, this is one of the things, and I remember we had discussions about this 8 years ago with personnel and mixing and matching and tempo. So there's all of these variables that go into it. Now, do I think that there's some route combos that Matt LaFleur and Jordan love with Tay and maybe even with like a Bo Melton? I do. And you can specifically draw that up. But just like anything else, then all of a sudden the defense could say, well, all right, Watson's out. Does that mean they're more apt to run the football? Those are the things you have to kind of keep in mind as you're drawing this stuff up. But yes, in a perfect world, and as this continues on, it will be fantastic if there's just everybody fits into a beautiful little role and Watson's the deep guy and Dobbs is the intermediate and Reed is your everything guy and Wicks is the – yeah, that's fantastic. But I think Jordan, he's figuring this out too. And at some point, things do switch. Whether or not that's going to be sooner rather than later, I don't know. But what he is saying is exactly how you want to draw it up. But we all know football is not always how it's drawn up. There's a lot of variables to it. And it's having the versatility that you know these guys can do all of that stuff and can do it, but you fit what they do best and you set it up that way, that's when you have a team that you feel awesome about. And that's where this team is at right now.
As awesome as that is, just like with regular fantasy football drafts, I'd be curious to know how this bevy of wide receiver talent will alter your game plan for prize picks this fall.
Well, I'm a little bit nervous about that. I'm not nervous about using prize picks because it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members, prize picks the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And unlike other apps, on prize picks, it's just you against the numbers, not against anybody else, just you against the numbers. And all you do, pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you watch those winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Sign up today. Get $50 instantly when you play a $5 deal. You don't even need to win to get that $50 bonus. It is, as we love to say, guaranteed. And preseason football is underway. Can pick more or less on 2024 season stats on Prize Picks. I'm already dabbling. Patrick Mahomes, more or less 4,300 yards. Josh Allen, Jordan Love. You can look at your favorite receivers. Josh Jacobs, rushing, all of that. Enter your season picks before week one even kicks off. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
We will be joined by Brian Bulaga. Hopefully I won't put him to sleep. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
You know what that music means? Might mean it's nap time. He is our famous friend with all the insights, breaking down all the film, especially the offensive line. It is former Packers right tackle and future Packers Hall of Famer, Brian Bulaga, on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tausch?
You look bright-eyed and
again.
You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so that's a win for me.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm great. I was great the other night. I'm not sure what you were talking about. I was, it was Declan's first day of training camp, so to speak, for soccer, and I was getting all the updates, and I was just looking down at my phone. But I heard everything clearly. I can multitask.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Blue, it's all right, man. Blue, it's all right. Wildy puts a lot of people to sleep, so I think we all understand how that goes.
No, I mean, I'll tell you, it didn't put me to sleep because he obviously had a lot of conversations that he was talking about that he had after the game and in the building. So I was dialed in. I was listening.
Okay, so Blue, since you were so attentively listening, what were the big things that Jason brought up that piqued your interest? Because I want to get into the Sean Ryan and all the offensive line stuff that we always get into. But what are some of the other things that you kind of gleaned from what you saw Saturday?
Well, the thing that I found funny was the whole Coach LaFleur saying the number one receiver talk makes him want to puke. I thought that was funny.
More violent than puking.
Yeah, vomit. When he brought that up Monday, I found that funny because, listen, I understand that we have a lot of talented receivers, and we know that, right? Like, that's very clear that the team is – right now, it's very bountiful at the receiver group. But like Jason said it Monday, eventually one of these guys are going to have to be the number one. One of them is going to get paid like the number one. And that's just the way that it goes in the NFL. You can't pay everybody. Not every guy's the number one. So that kind of made me laugh because, I mean, I've been in the building when there's Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, James Jones, Randall Cobb. Like, there was a number one there, and it was Jordy Nelson, and then Jordy left, and it was Devontae. Like, that's just the way it goes. That's late to the NFL. Yeah, there was a ton of talent, but there's always a number one, and that's kind of where they're at. And I get LaFleur's trying to make it that every guy feels appreciated, like they are the number one, like they are the guy, which I get it, right? I totally understand it, but eventually it's not going to be that way. But I found that fun to listen to that and have Jason explain that conversation.
Yeah, Brian, I think, and I told Jason this yesterday, I don't think that was him. Like, obviously, Wilde goes super long with his questions, and I'm sure that probably makes LaFleur want to vomit too. But I think he is just talking to his guys. He wants to keep that because, hey, man, we all want our kids to stay young and in that joyful, like, just the best age, but they grow up. And then you have to adjust. And that's what this is going to be when it happens. And Matt LaFleur wants to keep these kids eating orange slices, being happy with what they're getting. But that's not the reality of the NFL because you're going to have to pay guys. And he was talking to his team. He was telling Dontayvion Wicks, don't let anybody tell you you're not a number one. He's telling Dubois, hey, go and grab this spot. These spots aren't locked up, even though I think in their heads they already know kind of where they're headed. But he was talking to his team, not necessarily the vomiting to Jason Wilde. That was my take on it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I mean, he's keeping the peace. Like, that's because, like, we've seen it on other teams before. Like, not everybody can get the ball every play, right? Mm-hmm. And if I know good receivers, and Devontae says this a bunch, a good receiver, he's always open. That's how they feel. That's how great receivers feel. They're always wide open. They're never covered. And listen, I get that. I can appreciate that. That's the mentality that you want from a top-class receiver, is that, hey, I'm always open. And I understand that, but it's keeping the peace when you have all these talented guys in one room and guys want the ball. So, like, I totally get it from LaFleur's point of view, what he's trying to do, and I can appreciate it.
So, Brian, when we talk about the wide receivers, we spent a lot of time on that. But I actually asked a couple of people earlier in the week about Luke Musgrave. Now, I know that you were a veteran, but no one was ever saying, boy, Bulaga's had a really quiet camp because you're an offensive lineman, right?
You want quiet camps, yeah.
That's
yes,
ideal.
I want a quiet camp. Exactly.
This is, again, we've reached the part of the program where Tausch finishes my sentences. So those were good when you're a tight end, and especially a tight end, who we were, in fairness to Luke, making a really, really big deal about last year, right? We're talking about how he's faster. He runs at a faster miles per hour than anybody else on the team and this, and he's getting tons of balls thrown his way. But being a veteran player, you saw guys that kind of – and he's only a second-year guy, so I'm not putting him in your class later in your career. But it seems that his lack of significant plays in 11-on-11 is being downplayed both by the head coach, by the tight ends coach, and by Jordan Love. And should I be in any way concerned about him having a quiet camp? Because Jordan Love's argument is, hey, when we start game planning and planning for specific matchups, you're going to see him getting a lot of opportunities. And he basically said that this defense has done a really good job of taking away some of the stuff that his tight ends do. Does that make sense to you? And should I slow my roll on any concern I might have about a quiet camp from a pass catcher?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any need to be worried. I mean, I think in camp, you know, defenses really hone in on things and they focus on things and they're preaching, especially a new scheme, and they're trying to take away one thing. That's probably the middle of the field from the tight ends. If you eliminate that easy kind of space of the field that quarterbacks always look to with their tight ends, if you eliminate that, it really helps out the defense in other places. So, like, it's probably something that that Halfley's really focused on is taking away the tight end play. But, you know, once they do get into game plan play, right, like, and they're actually playing real games, he's going to become a vital part of this, because we're seeing from, obviously, the pass catchers, there's a lot of weapons on the field, and defenses can't scheme for every one of them. And a lot of the times, the tight ends are the ones that slip through the cracks, and they're the ones who end up being open a lot in plays. And So that's kind of what I'm anticipating from Musgraves as this thing starts to go on and game plan starts to happen, that he's going to be a big part because we all know he's very talented. Like, I mean, I feel like we're beating a dead horse talking about how talented the receiving group is because they really are. They have so many weapons. And like you want to get everybody the ball, but it's just not possible. That's kind of like going back to the wide receiver thing. Like, you can't get everyone the ball all the time, and that's kind of what you're seeing from tight end play. And, I mean, a good example for me would be when we had JerMichael Finley. Like, he didn't get the ball all the time in training camp, although, like, dude was a freak of nature. He was big. He was fast. You could technically always throw it to him, and he could make a play, but it just didn't go that way because Jordy was on the outside. Greg Jennings was on the outside. Like, there's just other guys that the ball's getting spread around to. So, like, I'm not too concerned right now about the tight end position. I think he's going to get plenty of targets, and he's going to become a bigger part of this scheme as we get going into Brazil and moving forward after that.
So, Brian, do you think, and I just tweeted this out because as you were talking, it just started like that because – I haven't heard a ton, and I know Tucker Kraft's been injured. He's just kind of getting back into it. But Jason's Chipotle buddy, Sims, you're not hearing a lot. And is it maybe because this year the Packers went and said, we're upgrading the heck out of our safety position? Safeties a lot of times are matched up with tight ends. Are we looking at this maybe the wrong way and saying, you know what, we should be excited because our safeties – unlike last year where the tight ends were such a big talk of training camp, maybe the safeties have something to do with this too.
For sure. I mean, we've been hearing about it all camp, how the safety battle next to X, as he's known as, is a great battle. Both guys are playing well. Then we obviously know McKinney's a great player. So, like, that's a very good possibility that those guys are just doing a great job on the tight ends. And that's – hey, that's a good thing because it's not only going to make our tight ends better going against good safeties, but it shows that our defense is capable of what I thought a lot last year, that I didn't think our defense was very good against tight ends. You would see tight ends running down the middle of the field around 8-9 yards wide open, catching easy passes, turning up field and getting 5-6 extra yards. So if that's something that this defense is going to take away from offenses, like, we got to be happy about that. To me, that's a good thing. So I look at it from both sides as, like, guys are getting good work and we're seeing good results from, obviously, our defense on it. So I think it's a positive if you look at it in both lights. Like, I'm not worried about receptions in training camp practice right now. Like, that's not something that I'm totally would be concerned about at this point. Like, if we get into week 5 or 6 and the dude's got, like, 10 catches, then, yeah, maybe that's something we need to talk about a little bit more. But until that point, like, I think he's going to be a big part, and it's mostly because of, I think, how athletic he is, how explosive of a player he is. I obviously hope that one part of his game that he's improved on, which I know Tucker Kraft was more this guy, was inline blocking and how he does on the line of scrimmage. And can he be a three-down type player? That improves your chance of getting the ball more with play actions and things like that. So if that's something that he's improved in his game in the offseason is blocking, then we're going to see way more opportunities for him.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, I think we are so, you know, so concentrated on this wide receiver stuff. We thought, well, two tight ends that emerged last year. How much two tight ends set? Matt LaFleur's got a really, really interesting jigsaw puzzle to put together and try and figure out how are we going to do this with the talent that we have? Because, Blue, you know this. Guys only get 5-10 reps a game. You know, maybe we won't hear it publicly, but I can assure you those little birdies will chirp in the locker room, and that's the thing you have to avoid. So it is a complicated puzzle that Matt LaFleur and Steno have to kind of piece together.
Oh, yeah, it is. When you got this much talent and young talent that they want to prove themselves, they want to show that they can be a key piece to the cog, like, and if they're not getting that opportunity, yeah, I mean, you start to get – disgruntled employees, and that's the last thing you want with a young team is disgruntled employees, because, like, obviously you said it, he wants to keep everyone happy. They're young, they don't, I mean, I don't want to say because they are grown men, but they don't know any better right now because they are young and they're so inexperienced within their NFL journey so far that he wants to keep everyone happy, and I get it. But when you've got so many guys that can get it done from Wicks to Dobbs to Watson. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to get everybody the rock. So like, and then you got a running back who you just signed for what is it, $11 million a year, whatever it was, that he's going to want 15 to 20 touches a game too. So like, you look at this whole picture, and it's a good problem to have. Like, right, like I'm not complaining about the problem. It's a great problem to have so many guys that you know
can until it's not. And, it's a great problem until it's not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Brian, while the strains of my favorite classic rock band Boston play in Tausch's background along with the horn, one last question about non-offensive line stuff, and then we'll do tackle talk next. I am not asking you about any specific games in which you may not have played your best. Just a general opinion.
Bruce Irvin, Blue, this is what he does, man.
I didn't say anything.
I know, but you said it without saying it. You did.
Bo Melton dropped three passes on Saturday. He dropped three passes on Saturday. I spent some time with him yesterday, wrote about him in the State Journal today. I thought he was in a really good place mentally in our conversation about putting that in the past, burying it, but learning from it. When you have a bad game, is the biggest challenge figuring out, here's what I'm going to take from it, here's what I'm going to flush, because he seemed to me like he was in a good spot, and he needs to bounce back for a guy that's looking to make sure he's on the team, make sure he's got a role in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, you got to balance it, right? Because you have to learn from it. You don't want to completely just say, that's a one-off. That's never going to happen again. So, like, you have to learn from it and be critical of yourself, but not so much that you kill your own confidence, right? Like, I think everyone that's played in the NFL has had a bad game. If you've played a perfect game I don't know who you are. So, like, that's not realistic. But when you have these bad games or events, whatever it may be, you have to look internally. You have to make the corrections within yourself, because obviously the coaches are going to correct you. But if you have the mentality that you just brush it off, like, that wasn't a big deal, that won't happen again, it's going to continue to happen again because you're not learning from it. So it's from the way it sounds like, you know, when you talk to him, that he's handling it well and he's processing it well. That's good, because you got to learn from it, and then you got to go apply it on the field, because like you said, this is a very competitive room right now, right? Like, I mean, how many receivers are they going to keep? 5, 6? I don't know. Like, that's a great question. So we already know essentially the 4, right? Like 4 guys that we know of that are definitely going to make this team. So who's going to be 5 and 6 or 5? We don't know how many they're going to take. So he's got to flush it, obviously, but he's got to learn from it, which it sounds like he has, and go out. And the most integral thing that I thought was, I wanted to get back out to practice and start working on it and correct it and
change the narrative.
Work on those things. Yes. And just work on it and figure, like, watch the tape. This is what I did wrong. Get on the practice field and start correcting those things bit by bit, so that the next game, he's going to play a lot in this next preseason game, you can correct those mistakes and justify and rectify what you did the prior game. So I think he's going to be fine. Obviously, we saw a lot of him last year, right? He ended up being a guy that played quite a bit last year. We know what he's about. It's just, you got to go out and earn that spot. And with this room, it's going to take some big performances to earn your place in that spot. And, you know, I hope to, like, listen, we want the best guys in that room, and we have a lot of good players. It's just like, you hate to see someone left out because of a couple drops in a preseason game, but that's how competitive this room is right now. And that's a good thing. But for him, he's just got to learn from it and move on.
All right, Brian, we will get to – that was a different type of horn there in the parking garage for Tausch. We will get to some offensive line conversation next. Matt LaFleur's at the podium now. For those that thought maybe there was going to be a quarterback change with the number 2 quarterback, that is not the case. Sean Clifford will go first on Sunday, followed by Michael Pratt. Jordan Love will not play. We'll have some more updates from the podium coming up. More with Brian Bulaga and the questioning – of Sean Ryan's conditioning? That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do. Jason, he's a sheriff. He'll flash his lights, but let me go.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, our famous friend. Tao's still at practice in the parking garage, high above the grass fields. Hey, Brian, what's the practice setup at Iowa? I mean, obviously they only use half the field because the offense doesn't really do anything. But... Yeah, really. I love Kirk Ferentz. I like Kirk Ferentz. I'm sorry, that wasn't very nice.
I just want to say somebody got ranked and someone didn't in the preseason.
Oh yeah, because preseason rankings are very valid. They're a great representation.
In fairness, Jesse, if we were ranked, we'd be talking about how we're ranked. So it's like Pro Bowls. Pro Bowl's stupid until you make one, or if you don't. Well, it's all political, so it's the same basic principles. But yes, preseason rankings mean absolutely nothing. Michigan will not be a top 10 team at the end of the year.
I understand it, but, you know, Jesse comes at me with everything. So, I mean, I have some ammo to come back with, and that's, you know, it is what it is.
Very fair.
Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, but I will say I was, what I mean, they redid their whole, you know, football facility, what was it, probably like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I heard they named it the Bulaga Complex. Yeah,
that's what I was just going to ask.
Do you have a bathroom or something that's named after you?
Yeah, I wish. I mean, we went to that, like when we toured it again and went through it and went to watch practice and everything, and that place is absolutely ridiculous. Like, it is so nice. Like, I walked through it, I'm like, I mean, not just how nice the facility is, but like, what I find is, like, they're serving them meals every, you know, every meal gets served there. They have food waiting for them in the weight room if they pop in dirt. Like, it's insane. Like, just, I would have just taken the food. I didn't need the nicer facility. Just the food would have been a good addition to my time at Iowa, that I didn't have to go buy, what was it, the burrito Pancheros for every meal, because, like, that was the affordable thing. You know what I mean? Or, like, obviously I got really lucky, you know, that I met my amazing bride in college, because she paid for almost everything. Like, you know, she I mean, my
little sugar mama, you know, like, action. I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, a little sugar mama action. I like that.
You know, like, my parents, they gave me X amount of money every you know, the start of every semester, which, hey, was fantastic. I didn't expect them to give me anything, so they did. But, you know, that would go quick with grocery runs and things like that. Like, that went out the door. But in season, my parents would come up and they'd stock my freezer with, you know, chicken breast and burgers. But, like, out of season, I was, you know, hey, scholarship check only was the only thing. I had to pay rent on it and all that. So we'd go out to dinner. She always, you know, took care of me. And, you know, I was very grateful for that. So that was nice. But it'd been nice to get the
– smart. It seems like everybody won in this instance.
I did not have.
Yeah, I mean, I got lucky. We'll put it that way. I got lucky.
I did not have Abby Bulaga, sugar mama, on my bingo card for today's show, but I didn't expect Tausch to get after Sarah for not having enough gas in the tank yesterday to get home either. All right. So, Brian, Jesse's going to get the audio clip of. Well, apparently he's got it. So listen to this, and you tell me. No one ever had a question number 75's fitness. And I'm always a little leery of this because overweight, out-of-shape sports writers questioning other people's conditioning, it makes me a little queasy. Doesn't make me want to vomit, but makes me a little queasy. But when you hear this about Sean Ryan, I'm curious what you think.
One of his biggest things that he's got to make sure that he's in charge of is just the conditioning component. and making sure that he stays ahead of that. And because when he is fresh, he can be pretty good.
So that was in response to my question about him and what his role might be. I did not see that coming, but when you hear Matt LaFleur say that, my ears perked up like Spock, and I'm guessing yours do too.
Yeah, that's not something that I expected to hear, and as a player, that is not something you want said about you.
No.
Like, listen, I don't know what guy... Like, and it was when I was playing too. You don't know what guys do when they're away from the building when it's the off season. It's really none of your business. It's on that player and what he believes he needs to do to get ready for a training camp or a season. We're what now? 4 weeks in to training camp, is that right? We're
We're in our fourth week. Yep.
Yeah, we're in our fourth week, and that's something that Matt LaFleur said at the podium out loud. That was not a behind-closed-doors comment.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me a little uneasy. I will say that. That makes me a little uneasy, and I don't know what to say about it, right? Because, like, I watched him play all his snaps against Cleveland. It never looked like he was gassed or dogging it or moping around. It never seemed that way. And when I watched him last year, it definitely didn't seem that way. So I don't know what's going on at 1265 behind closed doors with him and what he does. And it's really hard for me to comment on because I was never a guy when I was playing to look at another guy and say, he didn't do what he needed to do this offseason, because, like, I wasn't with him. I can't protest to that. Like, there's nothing I can say. But that's not the comment that you want from your head coach. And it's not a good thing. And that's obviously why we're seeing this position battle at right guard shake out the way it is. Like, it has to be, because it's not play on the field. I watched him again, like I said, this Browns game. He looks like the same guy that I watched last season. So it's not performance. So it's something else. And that's clearly in the conditioning or whatever it may be portion of his work. Like, people think that we only get graded on our play, which we do. But there's other components that go into the way coaches select guys, how they choose one guy over another. It's work ethic, it's habits, it's what they do in the weight room. It's from all the different voices around the building besides just your play on the field. If the play on the field is equal, right, if Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan are performing equally at the right guard position in camp, which I don't know if it is or not, but because I'm not watching the film and I'm not in the meeting rooms, if that's equal, then there's other factors that then get brought in to select who is going to be the guy. And clearly, one of those other factors right now is what Matt LaFleur said, the conditioning part of Sean Ryan. And is he able to sustain that throughout a practice or throughout a game? That is a question. And to me, that as a player, if I ever had Matt LaFleur, if I had Mike McCarthy, if I had Campy or whoever say that about me, that would bother me.
You'd be insulted.
That means that it's that's very, because to them, I didn't do what I needed to do to get myself ready for a football season, and that cut me deep. I'll be honest with you, it would cut me deep and it would hurt, and it would be a big look internally about what I need to do and what I need to be doing to change that view of me to a coaching staff. So yeah, I mean that caught me off guard. It shocks me, to be honest.
Yeah, you know what, Blue, what I was thinking? It's insulting. Whenever someone questions your work ethic and conditioning, that's what that is. We were wondering, you know, you mentioned consistency and anything else. It's literally the exact opposite of the conversation we had about Rashid Walker. Because the best thing you can say is, I trust this guy. This is probably one of the worst things. And I'm not going to sit here and, like, overblow this and anything else, because Sean Ryan's a good football player. We've seen it. But we were questioning last week. They wanted him to be the right guard. They put him in. They kept working. And, you know, his first year, he obviously, it was a redshirt year. And then last year, Platoon City. And is that because they don't trust him to be consistent? And is that because he's not in the condition that they hope or need him to be? That's what I took from that conversation. And I don't think there's, you know, again, we're not in the building, so I'm not going to get after him. I'm just going to go off of what they said. Juan! And what they said is one of the, you know, the worst thing anybody can say about a football player is he's soft. And you can take that both ways. I don't think we're far off with this. And if I'm Sean Ryan, this is a wake-up call to me. Like, I'm not giving these guys the consistency that they need in order to put me in there. Because all last week we were questioning when Jordan Morgan got injured. And it was, all right. And then you tweeted something during the game that I thought was really interesting. And you're moving him around like we're already planning on him being our sixth guy. Well, why wouldn't you want him being the fifth guy? That was the question I had, and I think you did too.
Yeah. And again, like, and you're saying, like, I'm not speaking to something about a guy's conditioning when I'm not in the building. I'm not working with him every day. I'm not in the O-line room with him every day. I'm not spending all this time with him to see what he's doing to get ready, or I'm not even on the field with him to see how he's operating, right? Like, when you played next to guys, you can tell if they were gassed, if they were, you know, like, whatever it may be, when you played next to someone or in a huddle with them, you could tell, like, hey, this guy's going to need a couple weeks to get up to speed. He wasn't doing what he needed to do. But, like, you never go to the guy. Like, I never saw a time in my professional career that someone went up to another player and said, dude, you're out of shape. You didn't do a single thing you needed to do this whole offseason. This is a bad – like, I never saw that. And clearly, maybe coaches had those conversations with guys. I was never aware that those conversations had, but maybe they did. But this went. This was a public thing, right? Like, LaFleur said it. And
yes.
I know Matt may say later down the road, like, ah, that's not what I meant. Or, that's okay. But, like, it got said, so now it's able to be talked about. And there's questions to it. And I'm with Tausch, like, yeah, you don't want to be called soft. And I think the next thing is you don't want to be called, like, he's out of shape and not conditioned to do
his
job. Not
working, yep.
And that, yeah, those are the two things that especially as offensive linemen, because we are out there every single play, like, we don't get to come off and only take 40 snaps a game. We're taking every snap. And if you can't sustain your level of play because of your conditioning throughout an entire game, 60, 70, 80 plays, whatever it may be, you're not going to be the big word that we talked about, Rashid Walker, trusted to go out there. And to me, that is the big red flag to me. And, like, I've seen him. I watched him play. Like, that's the thing. Like, I watched him play last year. I watched this preseason game. I think we're going to see a lot of him, obviously, in preseason too. I think he's playing well, and I think he's a good player. That's the part that is like, I'm having a hard time piecing everything together right now because, like, I watch his play on the field, and I like it, and I like his mentality on the field. He seems like he brings an attitude, and I didn't. And when I watched him play last year and watched him in this preseason game, he didn't seem like tired or dogging it, or he took a play off. Like, it didn't seem like that. So clearly, there's something going on that we're not privy to that's making Matt LaFleur say something of that nature. Because, Jason, you've been covering Matt for a while now. I played for Matt. He's not someone to come out and say something like that on a player, right? Like, that's not something he normally does. Normally, that's a behind-closed-doors type meeting.
Yeah,
that's not something that gets said publicly.
Brian, it reminded me of the time when Mike McCarthy basically said Eddie Lacy was fat and regretted it because that stuck with Eddie thereafter. So while I always appreciate honesty from coaches and players, this was an instance when he said it, I was like, you don't want to, even if it's true, saying it publicly is a pretty harsh rebuke of a player to do it.
Yeah.
And now we all heard you say it.
Yeah. And, like, listen, the thing that I hope, and maybe LaFleur did it for a motivational thing, which, hey, I'm good with coaches trying to get light a fire.
Privately,
like, I'm
though.
Good with that. Yeah, but that's a private thing, right? And what I'm hoping that doesn't come from this is Sean Ryan's confidence tanks as a player, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he goes the opposite way with it, because you watch his performance on the field, at least in games. Again, I'm not at practice. I don't see how he's doing. I don't watch the tape. I don't know how that's going in practice, but in games I watch a guy that performs well. So I hope this doesn't have an opposite effect on him, that starts to be impacted and he loses confidence and he loses his mentality as a player. Like, and because, but it could also go away that now he's going way too hard. He's overdoing things. He's overthinking things. And that also impacts your play, because there is one thing that I know as an offensive lineman, and Tausch knows this too. You got to find a way to conserve energy within a game. There's a way you have to, like, yes, you go hard every play, but there's ways to manage your energy levels throughout a game. And that could be technique. That could be how you do, like, a pass blocking play. If you can end it real quick by a jump set, get your hand out of guys, lock someone up, and the fight's over really quick, that conserves energy. So there's ways to do it within a game. So I hope he doesn't now go into this next preseason game and go a million mile an hour every play, and then kind of starts making mistakes that he wouldn't have in the past. So, like, I'm just hoping this doesn't impact him in a negative way.
So, Blue, before we let you go, Jason and I had a very nice discussion on swing tackles last week. He seems to think Dillard played pretty well and maybe is going to grab that spot. What did you see when you watched the film?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he played fine. Again, like Homer keeps saying, it was against a JV team. Like, yes, the Browns' defensive line was not overly impressive by any stretch of the imagination. Like, they had none of their guys. So it is hard for me to judge him off of that. But the reps he did take, yeah, I thought he played fine. Like, I didn't think there was any issues with it. I thought he was moving well. I thought he looked smooth. I thought he looked quick out of his sets. He looked powerful. So, like, yeah, that to me is a positive thing. Now, I think what I would want to see, which I won't be able to see, and I don't – Jason, you're not going out to Denver to watch it, are you?
I am not. No, I'll be right back.
Like, what I would like to see is how the joint practice goes.
Yeah.
Because he's going to take reps against their ones at some point in time. And then I would love to see the joint practice against Baltimore when he's going against sometimes their ones as well. So, like, those are the reps that you want to see. Like, I understand that you're not always going to go against the ones in preseason. I get it. And you have to make evaluations off of guys off of those reps. But these joint practice reps are going to be important for him and how he does against starters and you know, good on good type competition and practice. But I agree, he did have a good first preseason one for sure.
I look forward to you coming here on August 22nd. That is when the Ravens have their joint practice with the Packers. We have an extra bedroom. We'd love to have you. You and I can go to practice together, watch the whole thing, break down Andre Dillard, and have some tackle talk of our own. Brian, you're the best. We appreciate you every week coming on here and making us smarter. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for staying awake, too.
Thanks, guys. Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you. All right, guys. Have a good one.
That is the great Brian Bulaga for joining us, as he does every Wednesday. Tausch, you're at practice. Does that mean that you are under the not only the coverage of the parking garage, but also under the roof of American Family Insurance?
Well, you know that we are. And you know what's great about American Family Insurance? Dream Drive. It is back. Come on down to Lambeau Field. Kick off another year of big smiles in less than a mile. Started July 22nd. We got a couple of weeks left. Jason mentioned that joint practice. A little Packer fans can ride between Lambeau and training camp with their own bike or on one from the American Family Insurance fleet right alongside your favorite coaches and players from the pack.
American Family Insurance continues to support this heartwarming event, mobilizing the community to realize their dreams as they ride safe and protected. Join American Family Insurance for another historic year as we keep the tradition moving. Grab your wheels and let's ride Green Bay. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour.
This is a record.
Yeah, but Brian gets special.
No, this isn't a record. No, this isn't a record.
We'll debate whether it's a record. In 2 minutes, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.